Passion our purpose, profit our pain. I don't want my name to ever be in vain. A life full of substance is the only thing that will remain the same. Millennial Thoughts. Welcome back to Millennial Thoughts with your girl, Alicia. As you all know, we are doing a travel series. So I have another person from the internet that I met. Her name is Danielle, and she's a travel finance strategist, writer, speaker, and podcaster. And today we'll just be talking about how she affords travels, balancing 9 to 5, and also a couple of her new projects that she has. So, I'm so excited that she could come on and talk to us about it. So, hi, Danielle, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I already knew Millennial Thoughts. I'm like, I'm the thought card. So we go so well, right?
Yes, most definitely. You know, just always thinking about, you know, the next adventure, next trip, you know, anything in life. So yes, that's so cool. So if you don't mind, you can tell me a little bit about yourself or how you got into traveling, you know, just some things.
Yeah. So my name is Danielle Desir, and I am the creator of the blog called The Thought Card, and it's a travel finance blog that really shares how to afford travel, but also take care of all your other financial responsibilities. So I shared a lot about my student loan debt repayment story, and now that I'm a homeowner, I'm sharing more about homeownership as well as building wealth and investing. So my travel story really started from when I was a little girl. I would spend every summer with my grandparents in Haiti. And that's where I really learned how to speak a different language. I learned about different cultures. I pretty much immersed myself and I became like a local. But what happened is that, you know, at a certain point in life, which was high school, like travel kind of became uncool because I really wanted to spend summers with my friends, going to the movies and, you know, just being a teenager. But then I realized that, you know, I really wanted to start traveling in college. So there were study abroad programs and some of my friends were doing spring break trips, but Danielle did not have the funds. I had a couple of little small jobs here and there at school, like working as a tour guide and working as a customer service rep at a movie theaters. But that wasn't enough to take these like bigger, more lavish trips. Mm-hmm. So what I decided to do is that after I vowed to myself, after I graduated from school, I would get my job, my first job, and I would save enough money to go on my dream trip, which that trip was a week long trip to Paris, which I actually made happen, which was really, really exciting. Yeah. So I traveled solo to Paris for the first time after graduate school. And that really is what opened up my eyes to see, okay, like if I really want to make travel a financial priority in my life, I have to move differently. I have to be creative because at the time I also had student loan debt and I had other financial goals that I wanted to tackle, but I also wanted to travel. So that's really where it all began. And now in 2019, I've traveled to 26 countries. So I've been putting in a lot of work.
Yes. Do you have a goal? Of like how many countries you want to get by a certain age or something like that?
No, you know, I keep it really open. I really like to follow the flight deals. So whenever something exciting and new and affordable comes towards my desk, that's, I just jump on it and go. So like at the end of this year, I'm going to be going to China. So China wasn't necessarily on my dream list anytime soon, but the deal was so good I couldn't say no. So That's really how I operate now.
Oh yeah, speaking on that, that's a good thing too. People are like, oh, how you travel, how, where do you go this place? You just gotta go where you can see the flight deals at, you know, it's not so expensive. And it's just like sometimes if you travel when it's like you know, not a popular destination or something like that, you can get better deals and things like that.
Sure. For me, like following the flight deal has led me to some amazing places like Oslo and Sweden. I've been to Iceland 3 times. You know, it just really opens you up to different places that you might not necessarily have thought about, but you're like, hey, the flight is really good. A lot of times flights to Europe right now are cheaper than going to the West Coast or going to, you know, traveling from West Coast to East Coast. So if I'm gonna spend some money, I might as well just go to a different country. That's how I think.
Right. I definitely understand that one. So did you so you didn't study abroad in undergrad, or you did study abroad in undergrad?
I did not study abroad in undergrad. It was way too much out of pocket. My scholarships unfortunately did not cover it. So I decided, that's when I said, you know what, even though I can't do it now, it doesn't mean that I can't do it in the future.
Oh, snaps. Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Sorry. It like went, it cut like in and out, but I can edit it, but.
No problem.
It like went out.
Sure. No problem. I can say that okay. Again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I did not actually study abroad in college. The financial aid package that I had did not cover it, and I decided not to take out more student loans for it or pay for it out of pocket. But that really fueled me to say to myself, you know what, I really want to do this, and it's okay. I can delay this right now. And that's really what spurred me saving for my first trip to Paris.
Yeah, and that was after graduate school, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, that's, I was trying to make sure, undergrad and grad, okay. Because, yeah, I wanted to study abroad in grad school, but it was, like, so much money, I was like, okay, well, maybe not, but since I already did it in undergrad, I was just like, okay, you know what, I already studied abroad, you know, I don't need to pay $4,000 more, something like that, to get into more debt to go and study abroad.
And the thing is that, like, now, because I have a podcast, I actually was able to talk to someone who shared with me so many more tips on how she was able to make it by doing scholarships and grants and things that I didn't even think about. So if studying abroad is on your, you know, on your wish list or to-do list, like, there are resources out there, and I would definitely recommend it if you can do it.
Yes, most definitely. And so that you do travel a lot, but you also like have a podcast and you also have a blog. How do you balance everything?
So I also have a full-time job. So yes. With all those things, it's really about prioritizing. And I really try to designate certain days to certain parts of the things I'm working on. So for example, Mondays might be working on my blog posts. So writing and editing. And then Tuesdays, I work on creating content for my podcast. And then Wednesdays, I do something else. So I kind of designate days for the different types of things I'm doing in my life. And I keep my to-do list really short, between 2 to 3 things that I can cross off at the end of the day. That helps a lot. And also, I have a long commute. So if you have a long commute to work, that's a great time to get some things done. So I do a lot of like social media and responding to emails and pitching during my commutes. And that helps to just get more things done in a day.
Oh, like you mean can be like a bus or something like that? Like taking a bus or...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I do see that. Some people's like, I know Zorna, she's like, oh my gosh, just if I had a driver, like that would free up so much more of my time and I could do so much more. No, that's true if you have long commutes or you always have to travel, you know, like some people have to be on the road for work and stuff like that. Right. So I'm like, dang, you could definitely get a lot done if people are driving for you and stuff like that. But that's cool. And so with that, where do you, I guess, see the thought card going and being like in the next 5 years or 10 years, like,
wow. So I've been blogging for the past over 4 years now. So it's just, I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but all I know is that it really follows my journey. So as I grow and as I learn and as I evolve, like my blog is really there to be a reflection of me. And I hope that my readers and my listeners on my podcast can see their own journeys and my journey as well. And my whole goal for what I do is to really help others to do it better than me, to do it faster than me, to do it more affordably than me. So I think transparency, especially in the travel and money space, is really important. Whenever someone says, you know, something like, oh yeah, you could travel the world for free, please give them the side eye, because travel costs money and it's not something that is impossible, but you have to, I personally, I feel like you have to be strategic. And if you have other competing priorities, you have to be creative too. So that's really what the blog is all about. And I started my podcast a year ago now, actually. And I love it. It's a great way for me to talk to other travelers, to talk to other people who have interesting money stories. And I've learned so much in the process. So those are the things I'm working on.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, what made you what made you call it the thought card?
Sure. So the person I was dating at the time would, whenever we'd get into like little tidbits, he would send me thought cards. So it'd be like an email or a handwritten note sharing his ideas and thoughts. And originally, when I first started getting these, I was like, this is lame. Can you just open your mouth and talk to me? But then over time, like I really took a liking to just sitting down and writing my thoughts. So pretty much the thought card is just all of the thoughts that I have on travel and money.
Okay, I like that idea. Hopefully don't ask for what is it called? People like, give me my credit type stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, and then so you just went from the blog to the podcast. And then, so the podcast, you just like talk to people on there and different things about that. So yeah, that's cool. I was just like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder like how people think about like how to name their blogs, how to name their podcasts and stuff like that.
Right. And so, I also think it's important, like when you are creating content and you're coming up with a name, to come up with a name that you will like for a long time, I think, unless you're willing to rebrand. Because sometimes you start a project as one thing and it transforms to something else. Yes. So if you limit yourself in terms of your name, you'll have to rebrand. But for me, the thought card could be anything. It's all my thoughts. So
yeah, I feel that one. And that's one, that's like why I try to rebrand too. Because at first I was going like with Leisha's Lifestyle, you know, this is just like for my Instagram, like I want to do a YouTube channel, stuff like that. And then I was like, let me just change it to Leisha's Adventures. Because like lifestyle can be like, you know, my lifestyle, it could just not be as open as like adventures. I feel like adventures, people do think about that in travel, but I think of like adventures of life, you know. So that's like, if I do travel, if I do start a new job, if I do start a business, like it's just like so much more I could do with that word.
Exactly.
And so thinking about that, just being open and like having that flexibility, I guess. And so we all know that going to college and you get student loans, and I know that on like some of your blogs you talk about student loan debt and like traveling. Do you have any tips for people who like still do want to travel but they do have student loans?
Yes.
Like looking at your blog, but
yes, absolutely. So the myth is that you cannot travel and have student loans, and I'm from the philosophy that is not true. You can do more. You can even do more than that if you wanted to do more than travel. And you could definitely pay off your student loan debt. But again, it does take some strategic actions. And it really depends. Certain people, I think it's really important for you to, number one, take stock in how much you owe right now. Like right now, open up your student loan bill and see how much you owe. Because a lot of times we know we owe something, but we don't really know what it is. So really taking stock in that number and owning that number and being and letting the emotion of whatever you feel. Like for me, what really, really lit the fire in me to pay off my student loan debt was the fact that when I opened up my student loan bill and figured out how much interest I was paying per day, I was paying $10.10 per day. So rain or shine, Great Lakes required me to pay $10.10. And I was so angry. So my anger really helped to propel me to pay off that debt sooner. So I would definitely say, number one, definitely figure out where you are in your student loan journey, how much you owe, and find something that will motivate you to work on paying it off. And I would also say for student loan debt, if you're looking to make the minimum payment, you're never going to get there. What is required for you to get to being debt-free is to going above and beyond what is required of you. So for a lot of my repayment was just throwing money at my student loans. I had $63,000 of debt at the beginning, and I wasn't even making that much money at the, you know, when I first job out of college. So it definitely felt like I was climbing up a mountain, but it just literally like it just snowballs into like this massive, like when you start taking action, it's just really slow snowballs. So I would say that. Number two, I would say, do you have a travel fund? So I also believe that it's really important for you to put money aside for the different goals that you have. So if travel is something that you want to do, make sure you have a bank account for it. And every time that you can, start putting money aside for your travel fund. So you could give it a creative name, like, you know, Las Vegas with Bay or Girls Trip to Bali or whatever you want to do. Give it a fun name and consistently save towards travel. So when I first started saving for travel, I would start with $25 every 2 weeks. So I know some people might laugh at that and be like, oh my God, that's nothing. But it literally, that was how I got my way to France. know, all the small change and all the just, it's just literally compounding. It's just once you start taking action and it'll just lead to massive action in the end. So those are my tips. I would say know your numbers. Definitely feel what you have to feel when you're looking at how much student loan you owe. And if it makes you angry, great. Use that to pay off your debt faster. You know, if you want, definitely open up a travel fund, make it a separate bank account so it's not commingled in everything else, and then save consistently towards it. Even if it's $5, $10, $25, it's a good way to start. And at the end of the year, you'll be so glad that you have some money saved up for a trip.
Right. And do you have any travel, like, credit cards or anything like that that you use? Just wondering. I don't know, some people have like American Express or like the Chase card, something like that, credit cards.
Yes. So I would say travel credit cards and travel hacking is an advanced topic. So I would say yes, I have a lot of travel credit cards at this point. I have maybe over 13 at this point. There are different cards. So I definitely would say if you do want to get into travel hacking, do your research. Read blogs. There are a ton of blogs. I really like The Points Guy and Million Mile Secrets. They have really informative blogs to get you started. But I would also say to go with the Chase cards first, because Chase really has these really strict requirements that if you kind of start surpassing them, you kind of get X'd out of getting Chase cards. So it's called the 524 rule. So I would say if you are going to start travel hacking, go with Chase. They have the Freedom, they have the Preferred, they have a lot of different options. So start with those and then continue to branch off. Now, the whole point of the credit card hacking is for you to take advantage of the points and miles for free travel. So every time you sign up for a credit card, the point is to get a bonus, a sign-up bonus that you could use towards a free trip.
Okay. Yeah, I have recently heard of like travel hacking, stuff like that. People talk about it and things. I haven't started it. I just graduated. So now I'm just like, okay, I was really not trying to get a credit card ever. But I said, oh, get a credit card to get points to travel? Okay, that sounds like something I could do.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, I definitely understand that people may be apprehensive about getting a credit card. It might not be for you. And that's totally, totally fine. But again, there are perks of getting, you know, points and miles can get you free trips. So a lot of times I'm flying, let's say going, the last place I went to was London. I flew on points and miles. I didn't have to worry about, you know, the ticket price minus the taxes and fees I had to pay out of pocket. But that's just like an expense that I didn't have to incur, you know, so that's the wonderful part about it. But for credit cards, especially, I would say treat it like a debit card. With a debit card, you swipe and the money comes out of your bank account immediately. So pay off your credit card routinely, like multiple times a week, I would say. That's what I do. So keep your balance low. So if you use your credit card like a debit card, you will not be getting into credit card debt, paying a lot of interest. So that is a hack that I highly recommend.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yes. And also you mentioned that you solo traveled to Paris. I know that's becoming more popular. Well, I feel like people have been doing it, but they haven't been talking about it much. And people were like scared or nervous and going to another country and being solo travel. Do you have any tips for like somebody who wants to just, well, not get up and go, but just somebody who wants to go to another country that they may not speak the language and they're going by themselves?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's twofold. So one of them is building the confidence to solo travel. So I would say if you need to build your confidence, first start by doing things at home alone. Go to the movies by yourself. Go to a restaurant by yourself. These are great ways to kind of practice being alone. I know a lot of people have this concern of like, people are looking at me. No one's looking at you, honey. Like, you know, like it's just really good practice to do it in your local hometown. And also to not let the negativity of like movies like Taken and, you know, like movies like Hostel get into your head, because like those are movies. And if you take the precautions, like making sure that you always have phone service, like being able to call your family and friends. Like whenever I travel solo, I'm on the phone all the time because I'm always keep in touch with my family and my friends, let them know where I am, that I'm safe. You also have tons of free apps now, like Google Translate, which mm-hmm. helps you to, you know, translate the foreign language into the language of choice of where you live. So that also helps. So I would say, and also just be really organized in your trip. So create an itinerary, focus on the things that you really want to do. And at night, like, you don't have to necessarily go out to the clubs and bars if you've been out all day. You know, like when I'm traveling solo, I wake up early, I go to the sites to avoid the crowds, but by nighttime I'm exhausted, so literally, I just grab a bottle of wine, you know, I just chill out in my hotel room, and it's totally fine. So those are my tips. Solo travel is amazing. Like, you just learn so much about yourself, and it's something that I highly recommend. And I do have some articles about it, so I'll share it with you guys in the show notes.
Yes. Do you think that people should solo travel in the United States before you think they should go abroad? Or you think go big or go home? Like,
I think it really depends. Again, it depends on your budget. So I've done a lot of solo travel in the U.S. So I've been to places like Chicago. I really love Chicago. It's really, really fun. So I would, it really just depends on your budget, but I would definitely recommend solo travel. And I'm from New York, so New York to Chicago is not that far. And that's like a really great way to kind of get your feet wet. I traveled to San Francisco often as well. So go to the cities that inspire you, that you are really captivated by, and mm-hmm. start there. But you can also go big and go home. Like Iceland mm-hmm. is a really great place for solo travel. And other places like Sweden, there are so many just different countries. So if you are thinking about solo travel, do a quick Google search also, and Google like, what are the safe places for female solo travelers? And you'll see a bunch of top 10 lists and see mm-hmm. which one speaks to you.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I was just talking to somebody. She was like from Gambia, and I was like just asking her questions. She's like, well, yeah, Gambia is safe. And she like went to Turkey. She's like, yeah, Turkey is safe to go by herself. Also, I think that's too, like talking to people and knowing like what's going on, places that people have been and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, I might put that on my list to do a solo trip there. Like, you know, sometimes you never think about places that you would go, like, oh, I want to go here, but I don't know too much about it. I think that's great too. And so I know like you're working on a lot of things, and that you have some projects that are coming up and that you started. So just like talk about it. I guess you can tell them and what made you do it and what is the next steps when they're coming out and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I've been like super busy, but I just been doing a lot of things that I'm really passionate about. So I recently released a Iceland travel guide. So I've been to Iceland 3 times, and after writing lots of articles on my blog and other publications, I said, you know what, let me just sit down and compile all of my tips for traveling to Iceland. So this book is really helpful for those who are looking to have an affordable, adventurous, and culturally enriching trip to Iceland. And it's written with the Black woman in mind. So I do share some of my experiences and some tips as well. So that is out right now on Amazon. It's called Iceland Nature, Nurture, and Adventure. Mm-hmm. And I also have a budgeting course. So if you need help with creating a budget to really like tighten up your finances or to help you reach your goals, I have a budgeting course available. You can find it on my website, thoughtcard.com.
Okay, yay. And is there anything else social media or anything else that you'd like them to follow you on to keep up with you?
Yeah, so I'm the Thought Card across the board on social media. That includes Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, and also Facebook as well. And if you want to check out my blog, it's called thoughtcard.com. And if you are interested in listening to the podcast, it's called The Thought Card. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, all the places.
Okay, well, yes, thank you all for letting us know the things that you have going on. And hopefully, if y'all are interested, y'all should definitely go check it out because there's a lot of stuff on the blog. I've looked at it like a couple times already. And they're just like so informative, and it's so cool to see people doing what you want to do. So if you're into traveling, you can do it. Just make sure you're thoughtful with it. Is there anything else that you would like to tell them or tips or tricks or anything?
Yeah, I would just end with by saying that, you know, like, you can afford anything in life. It might take some sacrifices, it might take some creativity, it might take being thoughtful, but whatever you put your mind to, you can do. And, you know, for me, the word can't doesn't exist. So I can do it, and I know that you can too.
There y'all go. That's great. There you go. You know, buying houses, student loans and all, you still can travel or you still can do what you want to do. So I would like to say thank you so much for coming on here and talking about travel and being a part of this series or whatever that I am doing.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yes, you are so welcome. I'm so glad, you know, fellow podcasters. And so, yeah, that's cool. So thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Later. Thank you. Bye.